Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Munns, what are we listening to?
We are listening to Spoon, Jeffrey. This is a song called Outlier.
Spoon, bro. I feel like they played at Panama City Beach spring break once or twice.
Yeah, I would think so. I've always been a fan, but became an even bigger fan when they put it out, but they got a song where they name dropped the Commercial Appeal a few times.
There you go. A fan for life.
Yes.
All right. How do you assess the regular season? I know, right?
There's got to be a better descriptor than disappointing. But that's kind of all I can come up with at this point, off the top of my head.
It's confusing. Because I told Mark this, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that this team would be on the outside looking in, basically needing to win the conference tournament to get in, my immediate assumption would have been they didn't get it figured out early and they didn't do enough in non-conference play, and then the league wasn't good enough to boost them up like you needed it to, and they would be fighting that battle. I did not think it would be the opposite.
No, I mean, like, whatever the word is for when you get your hopes up, when nobody could tell you halfway through, or even more than halfway through, 60% through the regular season, when nobody can tell you something any different than what you think 60% of the way through, and then that whatever that person was trying to tell you actually happens, whatever the word is for that.
Soul crushing?
I guess.
Confounding?
But I'm glad you couched it the way you did by saying, you know, the season up to this point, because in fairness, it ain't over.
No, they have the ultimate mulligan.
Yeah, they've got if you had given somebody a blank slate, somebody in that program, a blank slate, or a fan of that program, and said, draw up what, you know, a path that you would consider the most favorable path outside of having the double bye, that you would consider the most favorable, I think this would be pretty close to it.
Yeah,
maybe you would substitute Temple in for Wichita State.
I mean, I guess, yeah. But at the same point, it's like, well, you're only going to play one of them. Like, to me, it's like, if you're drawing it up, you basically were drawing up, all right, I'm putting FAU on the other side of the bracket, and then I'm putting SMU on the other side of the bracket.
I mean, I'll take it a step further. Tulane's on the other side of the bracket. North Texas is on the other side of the bracket. These are teams that aren't very good. All of them aren't very good matchups for Memphis. I'm actually working on a thing of predictions, which I have no idea why, because this is the most unpredictable team. Like Pat Forty said it, I thought, very, very well over the weekend. He called Memphis one of the most random teams in the country. And I think that's exactly what, like, he's exactly right. Like, you just, you never, ever, ever know what's going to happen with this team. Just when you think up is down.
Sometimes it's half to half.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, it's as random as it gets, this team. So, but I am persistent, and I'm going to make some predictions. But I think I've got a good one. It's at least interesting. I'll go ahead and spoil it for everybody, this one. I don't think FAU gets to Sunday. Like, that side of the bracket, if you go through and you actually look how FAU performed against the teams that are on its side of the bracket, it wasn't great. It wasn't dominant. At the very least, it wasn't dominant. They're two. So listen to this. I looked this up. FAU at Tulane needed a bailout call to win by one.
Yeah.
And at North Texas, if my memory is correct, it was like a 4-point game or something like that, or a 3-point win for FAU. At home, played Tulane and North Texas at home. The two in conference play, the two teams that played FAU the closest at FAU, Tulane and North Texas.
No, and the other thing for me, it's like, okay, like with this team, when you try to do the home away splits, I almost think like going to kind of an atmosphere neutral Dickies Arena.
Yeah.
I think that probably plays into the favor of Memphis, because it's not even necessarily that like, oh, they're so much better at home. It's, I think everybody else is so much better when they're hosting Memphis, that I think the neutral kind of stale, hollow environment, I think that plays to their advantage.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, I agree with that. But no, you're absolutely right. Having FAU, SMU, and to my point, Tulane, North Texas, all on the other side of the bracket, even Charlotte, all on the other side of the bracket, I think is a really, really, really favorable thing. Now, I will say, if Memphis gets past Wichita State or Rice on Thursday, they got to play UAB again. And as we have seen, that can be tricky as well for Memphis.
I mean, in reality, if you've played four halves against them, I guess you'd
two
say
of them
what
went okay. Two,
I would
two,
say
one of
two
them
were
really,
draw.
Really well.
Like one was awesome. One was maybe a draw, and then you lost the other two. The second half at UAB, the first half here, and then you won the second half here, and maybe you'd say it was a draw at the first half at UAB?
Yeah, yeah, it's something like that. So that's going to be an interesting game if it plays out that way. But no, everything before now, it will, you know, we'll go with what you said, soul crushing. I don't know that I'm quite, I feel that, quite that strongly about it, but it's an odd thing to have to reconcile, because as you said, if you had told anybody beforehand you're going to be 22-9, you're going to finish fifth in the AAC, well, no, you didn't tell them that part, because whatever, you're going to be 22-9, and you're going to have to win the tournament to get in, you would think,
oh, they had a really bad non-conference.
Yeah, like they didn't help themselves at all in the non-conference, but it wasn't that at all. And so confounding, maybe that's the word, confounding.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing that I've really struggled with is, okay, I've covered teams that have a strong start and then they fade. But usually the hallmark of those teams are, those teams just didn't, like they start to fade because they just weren't as talented. And then, you know, it's usually a pretty well-coached team that wins early. Then the scouting report gets out on them. And then they just don't have the talent level to actually, like, pull away. It's the opposite with this team. And, like, that's what has been just so, to your word, confounding.
Yeah. That's not at all what this team is. Like, they've got all the talent they need. They've got more than enough talent to be exactly what everybody thinks they should be. And if you look back at the regular season and you want to find exactly why Memphis is in the position that it's in, it's not difficult to find it. It's in that whatever it was, 2 week stretch, 2.5 week stretch, whatever it was in January, where Memphis lost at home to South Florida. Granted, South Florida ended up doing well despite its metrics, winning the league and getting ranked in the top 25 for a brief moment, but that's a whole other discussion. I have a whole lot of feelings about the top 25 this season. But, you know, you lose at home to them, and then you turn around a week or two later and you lose at home to Rice. Like, that's it. That's really, you know, everything else you can stomach. Like, road losses, even the one at North Texas, even the one at Tulane. You can reason those away, but it was those home losses to teams that they had no business losing to at home that has them in the position they're in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of like where it's like, that's the most frustrating aspect. It's like, well, some people go, well, you know, if everyone had to be judged by their two worst losses, they wouldn't be in the spot. But I think the larger point to me, it's like, this league is so bad that you cannot afford those types of situations. Because even if you want to contextualize it and say, like, you know, look at some of these environments, they always get someone's best shot. It's like, yeah, but these teams aren't that good.
Yep. And yeah, I mean,
to me, like, that's the fear with this league moving forward, is that you realize unless you just build the machine that's just going to rip through it, like, you lose a couple of these games and then you find out how the other half live. Like, there's not the opportunity. Like, even Saturday, even if you win Saturday, it's not like that would be like the opportunity of going and winning at Houston that they've had a couple of times. No. You know what I mean?
Yep. No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's truly, I wrote a story that published earlier this afternoon where I basically couched it this way. You know, what could end up happening if Memphis does not win the AAC tournament? It will be the first time in the Bart Torvik era, so since 2008, it will be the first time that a team has been at least plus three in Bart Torvik's wins above bubble.
Which, yeah,
he's got like a metric called wins above bubble, which it's a little bit difficult to explain, but it basically means that if you compare one team's resume to an average bubble team's resume, how many more wins does team A have over this hypothetical bubble team? Like, hypothetically, what that bubble team would have. And Memphis was plus three on January 15th. 153 times out of 153 times, there have been the teams that were that high above with the wins above bubble that late in the season, January 15th, 153 out of 153, they've made the NCAA tournament. If Memphis doesn't win the AAC tournament, they're going to become the first team since 2008 in the Bart Torvik era to do that. And so, you know, soul crushing might be appropriate.
Do you think long term for the program, is it better to go on and win this thing and you know, to essentially kind of stave off that embarrassment? Or do you think having to come to grips with why did this go the way that it did and perhaps make adjustments, what do you think for the long-term health of the program, which scenario is better?
Oh, man, you got some haymakers today. Like, we're getting really deep with that one, but I like it. Honestly, your hope is that no matter what happens,
the same. Yeah, you would. No matter what happens, that you would come to the realization that something has to change, win or lose. But I just know the way human nature works. You don't.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to do this. I could argue it both ways. Like, if they win the AAC tournament, get to the NCAA tournament, you know.
And I think, like, there's the other things. I'm sure there's, you know, there's financial incentives that matter for making the tournament, you know. And this is not like a, you know, this is not in this world where who knows where what the check's going to be, you know, 5 years from now. Like, I do understand that there are other components that just go into, you know, how a program is run. Like, I do want to be fair to other decision makers at the school.
Yeah, I mean, I could make the argument that or one could make the argument that if they did win the AAC tournament, like, Memphis is certainly capable and talented enough to make a serious run, that it wouldn't just be this, like, metaphorical Band-Aid that might not be the best thing for the program long term,
yep,
as you put it. Like, who knows? It depends. I would say it depends. If they get to the Sweet 16 or, you know, even further, then I would say certainly that's probably going to outweigh not winning the AAC tournament and having to really get introspective and make some serious fundamental adjustments. I mean, again, I think in a perfect world, no matter what happens, lose, you know, don't win the AAC tournament and start your offseason immediately, or win the AAC tournament and get to the Sweet 16 or beyond, you still get introspective and really start taking a hard look at some of the, you know, some areas where you can try your best to make sure another season like this doesn't happen. That's the ideal scenario, is that you check both boxes no matter what happens. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not sure.
Another factor I think that complicates it is we have reached this era in which wins directly can correspond to money in the program. And you are now completely dependent, at least for the time being, you're completely dependent on boosters buying your roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, and
that's exactly right.
And so, like, where I can acknowledge in a vacuum probably losing and making what I think are fundamental changes that need to be made for the sake of the program, I can fully accept, hey, man, that just doesn't apply in this world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could be idealistic. You could say shoulda, yeah, coulda, woulda. The reality is, like, every win translates to money, and
because if you don't,
right,
you could make the argument that there's some people who become disenchanted. And,
well, I mean, like, has been my argument to Mark. I think the way that the season ended last year against FAU, I think if they simply beat FAU, they were going to the Sweet 16. I think the roster looks fundamentally different than it would, because I don't think they would have struck out early in the transfer portal. And so, yeah, you can do the whole thing. Well, you know, they got it back, but it's like, man, that team didn't really wobble very much last year. I don't believe they ever lost consecutive games. You know,
right,
they win the conference tournament. Like, there were a lot of positives about last season. But that simple just one game against FAU in the fashion that it ends, like, that just kind of, like, killed momentum. If you can figure out ways to, like, keep momentum going, it's where I do acknowledge, like, hey, man, this is a lot more complicated than just whether or not you think the program's being run right.
Yeah, no. I going back to that last season, like, I've made this argument publicly before in the last couple of weeks, actually, that like, that's the high watermark. That's, like, sure, they were one and done in the NCAA tournament, and that's kind of what gets remembered, but, you know, they didn't wobble. Like, they were that's like,
then could you
season,
could you imagine if they would have gotten to do the, forget, let's say they lose to Kansas State in the Elite Eight, they don't make the Final Four, because I think that puts it in a different stratosphere. But if they just win a Sweet 16 game against Tennessee, can you imagine what everybody's thinking and feeling?
Yeah, no, I can't. It would be euphoria. And for a very long time, like you would have, like that would be one of those things that gets talked about and written about for years and years and years and possibly forever. If it had played out that way, it didn't. And we are where we are now, but that team, that season last year, like they lost three games before FAU, before losing to FAU, they lost three games after some date, like January 1, and two of them were to Houston. That's the kind of thing that you need.
January 11th. January 1, they lose the traditional lose at Tulane. Then they lost that double overtime game
at UCF.
And then February 4th, the Tulane game at home, and then the two Houston games. But after January 1, if you say after January 11th, they lost three times or four times if you include FAU.
And two to Houston. Yeah, right. So how far did Houston go last year?
I believe Sweet 16.
All right.
They lost to Miami.
Twice to a Sweet 16 team and once to a Final Four team after January, whatever, 11th.
And Tulane has its tradition.
Yeah, right. It's just weird with Tulane, which is why I think it's an incredibly good thing that Tulane's on the opposite side of the bracket in this conference tournament. I could see Tulane getting to Sunday. I honestly could. Even though they're in the same side of the bracket with FAU and SMU and everything. As bad as Tulane has been this season, they still have guys. And they still have Ron Unner.
I think they've still played FAU close despite not having a great record.
They did twice. Once in New Orleans and once on the road. So I think that's it's as weird as it is to say that Tulane actually has a pretty good matchup against FAU because Tulane has no big men. The proof is right there. Home and away, they might have played FAU closer than anybody who doesn't have a win over FAU this season.
Munns, we appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Program is brought to you by Memphis's number one spot for virtual golf. It's Birdies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.